Well, again, greetings. I greet you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight, I'm terrible at these introduction things. I don't know what it is. I just struggle with them all the time. And I just want to go, here's Andy, have fun, we're going to move forward. But I don't know. I've got some good things. But the thing that I think about with my brother Andy, as you guys know me well, I am a big fan of change. I have such a hard time coming in and see the same things over and over again. And again, not change for the sake of change, but changing for the betterment of our good. And so the concept of sitting in a different seat in the pew and think I sit in the same place all the time, but the concept changes. My brother shares that, you know. And with that being said, I think about that, and I think about, you know, he's willing to do stuff different. It always worries me that if when I introduce him that he might just sit back down and say, you know, Stephen, you're giving the sermon tonight. So I have to be real careful with that change. But with that, I know our brother is prepared, and I know his heart is big and compassion as our pastor. I'm sure it's been a long year for him and a big learning year today. And so I would ask him that you would say, if you haven't already, say a prayer for our brother that he could be used this night by the Lord. Brother Andy Brown.
Thank you, Stephen. Good evening to each of you. I'm wondering how many years it'll take me to break in a new Bible. My old Bible is my security blanket. I'm always afraid I'll get up here and won't be able to find the Book of Thessalonians in my new Bible. I know where it's at, my old one, but I have a lot of thoughts this evening. I thought it might be appropriate, or I guess I seized the opportunity to preach the first sermon of the year. Our brother Jim Jr. was scheduled for this slot, and he warned me when I scheduled him a month ago, I may not be there. And he told me a week or so ago, I'm not going to be there. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll get Adam to see if he wants to preach, you know. And I thought, no. I felt like the Lord kept placing things upon my mind over the last couple of weeks, and so I thought, well, I'll try and organize those thoughts, and I'm not sure I've done a good job, but we'll give it a try. We're going to start in the book of Matthew tonight, the fourth chapter. And I have a lot of thoughts that may be kind of hard to all gel into one flow here, and I've titled my sermon as a weird title, and I normally don't title it. Normally, these guys come up here and give me this little paper and say, what's the title? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a person that comes up with titles and then build around it, but my title is Not Just for Doing, but for Purpose. And I want us to think about the things we do and why we do them. And as we reflect on the last year, and as our brother Brian said this morning, more importantly, look forward to the next year. And hopefully each of you, as I am excited. I'm not doom and gloom here by any means. I'm excited to see what the new year brings. It may not all be good, but I'm still excited to see it. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in our country. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. I don't know what's going to happen in this local. But I'm guaranteed that not everything will be exactly the same 1 year from now. Things will be different. In some way, maybe big or small, but things will be different. And the question is, are we looking at those changes and things that come into our life as an opportunity? As an opportunity of service. I'm going to speak a lot tonight. I'm going to take my jacket off. It's warm. Is the fan on, Gordon? Would you mind checking? Not that I mind breathing all the air you've already breathed, but it's nice to have a little fresh air. As we look at this year, I hope that we embrace our challenges, our responsibilities, And as our brother Stephen said, the things we endeavor to change in our life personally and collectively, that we embrace those things with purpose. And that purpose being, what is the Lord's will in these things? What is God's will in your life this year, Jesse? What is He trying to get me to learn? As I hear things and I hear changes come in people's lives, oftentimes immediately I think to myself, the Lord's knocking. Maybe something tragic, maybe something difficult come into our life. But oftentimes I think the Lord's knocking. Are we going to listen? And oftentimes I find myself struggling and just literally beating my head against a wall. At some point, usually a long point, I just ask the Lord, whatever it is you're trying to teach me, help me to get it so I can move on to the next thing. And sometimes I find that we get stuck in the same struggle month after month, year after year. And we're not getting it. We're not getting it. So, let's read Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. And this was Christ speaking whenever he was being tempted of the adversary. And it says, and he saith unto him, all things will I give thee. Oops, excuse me, that's verse 9. We can go ahead and read it. Give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And I want to talk about that. You know, are we willing to look at some of these things in our life and say, get hence, Satan? Only God am I going to serve. I'm not serving anybody else. I'm not serving anything else. Are you willing to put away the idols of our life? Put them behind us and truly make that statement within your own heart. I'm sure you could look at my life and say, oh, yeah, your yard is full of idols. You know, most of them are in the shape of some kind of tool. But nevertheless, you know, are we willing to put things behind us? Are we willing to make them not the most important? Yesterday I got a text from Adam, and I texted him back and called him and said, where are you at? What are you doing on a Saturday morning, you know? Well, I'm on the roof of a hotel. Well, just hanging out with the pigeons? Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Fiesta Bowl was yesterday, okay? If he hadn't have told me that, I wouldn't have known it. I don't follow that, okay? Is there anything wrong with the Fiesta Bowl? No, I don't think so. It's fine, you know. But it's not one of the things that are in my life, okay? But there's a little orange machine over there in Adam's backyard that I really like, you know. And he and I have a little fun playing with it. But neither one of those things, the Fiesta Bowl or that orange machine in Adam's backyard, can be the focus. They're just something on the side that if we have time to do, great. If not, no big deal. They can't be the focus. And so as we go through a few scriptures tonight and more, I'm going to try and put into the process here, really my thoughts that I felt like, and I wrote them down, which I normally don't do, but some of the thoughts I felt like the Lord has put upon my heart this last few weeks, and some of the time I was able to spend with some of my little grandsons here out squirrel hunting and wandering through the woods and just enjoying some of the things that I oftentimes don't make the most important thing. There's always time for those things, when in reality, there's not. Because these little guys are only going to be this big so long, and pretty soon they're not going to want to go squirrel hunting with Papa. They're going to want to drive their car off somewhere else, you know. So, and that's what I was titling my sermon the way I did. Not just for doing, but for purpose. That the things we do have purpose. And most importantly, that we get this balance of Satan out of our life and serve only God. Okay? So let's continue on. Jump back a book in the scriptures to Malachi. And when I was preparing my sermon, I didn't intend to read this verse, but I couldn't get away from it. And there's several verses here I want to read. And pretty familiar to most of you. And again, I think it's going to make a point here that I want to make. In the third chapter of Malachi, starting in the 13th verse through the 18th verse, and it says, "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yea, ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" And you know, this here he was speaking to the house of Israel. We know that. And he spoke some pretty harsh things through this prophecy to Israel, but he also spoke some very encouraging things, I thought, as well. So let's continue to read these verses. And says, "Yea, he say, it is vain to serve God, and what profiteth it that we should keep the ordinances, and that we should walk in the." Profit is it that we keep his ordinances, and that we should walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy, yea, and they that do wickedly are set up, yea, and they that tempt God are delivered. Then they that fear the Lord speak off one with another, and the Lord hearkeneth and hear it, and the book of remembrance is written before him for them that fear the Lord, and they that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Again, really, when I started thinking about this word of service, I was more thinking upon, you know, how we serve one another. But the more I studied and the more I prayed about it, it really boiled down to how we serve the Lord. And in our day, in our generation right now, you know, many people who are prideful and are vain, who work wickedly, do those things which are opposite of God's law, they seemingly are delivered, aren't they? You know, the laws of our land oftentimes do not affect them. We all know people who think they get away with things. You know, I imagine most of us will go back to work tomorrow or Tuesday, and most of the people we rub elbows with would have had a much different New Year's Eve than we did, you know, and most of them would probably involve drinking or who knows what, and somehow this is called happiness, and somehow this is called joy, and really being on top of what's going on in the world, you know, or maybe they went to a famous place, a exotic location to spend the New Year, and we call the proud happy, and those that are puffed up and those that do wickedly seemingly are delivered. But I want to bring to your remembrance here the verses that follow that. There's a verse of Scripture that used to puzzle me, and I can't tell you where it's at because my memory's not that good. But it says, if in this life only we serve the Lord. No, I'm going to mess this up. Joel says it's 1 Corinthians 16. We'll see how he's... 15? Chapter 15?
Yes.
Not only is my memory going, so is my hearing. Verse 19, thank you for the help. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And you've heard me use that verse before. But if the only thing we're looking at is what's going on today, what the neighbor has that we don't have, or someone's having fun that we're not having, or seemingly those that do wrong are rewarded, then we're doing that right there. You know, our hope is not in Christ in this life only. It's in the next life. And as Malachi said here, you know, that book of remembrance is written. Our faith, our hope is in the next life. It's in the rewards that God has promised to His children for doing that which is right. We were speaking this morning in our meeting with the ministry, and I made a comment there that I felt a couple years ago, just really exhausted, mentally, physically, spiritually worn out, done. And I was working a lot of hours at the time. I had a lot of side work at the time. So oftentimes I'd leave the house at 5 in the morning, come back at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And just exhausted. And I prayed about it, and I feel like at one time the Lord said, shut up and get to work. Now, I don't know if the Lord really uses the word shut up or not. So, but in my heart and mind, it was like, just be quiet and get to work. It's your attitude. It's you that is struggling, you know. You've asked for the work, you need the assistance, and now you're complaining that you got it, you know. It's like asking for water and then complaining that it rained. You know, sometimes I find that's where we're at. Instead of just evaluating where we're at and doing it, whatever it is, for the glory of God. Doing whatever the Lord's asked us to, no matter how hard it is, how difficult it is, kind of like Adam's testimony this morning, that you just endure. Just suck it up and endure. And the Lord is faithful. This last year, this last 6 months, been much easier for me. Been much easier for me. I still work quite a few hours, but nothing like that. And just because of how I'm looking at it, it's better. You know, oftentimes our situation changes only from our viewpoint. The people who bother us, the struggles that we have, stay the same. But we look at them differently, and so our attitude changes. And in that, God can be glorified. God can be glorified. We're going to go to Mosiah chapter 1. I want to make sure I'm not hurrying along here too fast. You know, this next 2 weeks, 2 weeks from now, we're going to have an election of officers here in this local. And you're going to elect somebody to be your pastor. And that person is going to ask somebody else to be the assistant pastor. And then you're also going to elect a whole array of offices. And whether that's a person like Matt is now that locks and unlocks the door, or if it's the chorister, or if it's the maintenance committee, whoever it is, I really want to put it in your heart that you do it as the Apostle Paul said, whatever task you're doing, do it as unto the Lord. And I'm going to ask you to take it one step further. And as make a true evaluation. Go home after this sermon, walk into the bathroom, and look yourself in the mirror. And say, Jose's shaking his head, no, I don't want to do that. That's scary. Look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself the question, is there something I can do? How could I be serving the Lord in some simple way? Whether it's the pastor or something else on that list. What is it that I can be doing that I'm not? And if you decide to do it, do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. I'll be honest with you. This year has been very educational to me as a pastor. Not so much that I learned so much, but more so that I learned that God can strengthen us, help us see what it is that the anticipation of being pastor was much worse than being pastor this year. I don't know about next year, but this year. And I realized that there was only one way I was going to be remotely successful, and that was to look at the job as I would any other job, any other task. That, okay, here I am. I don't want the job. I didn't want the job. When I got that phone call and I was in Cancun, Mexico, and they told me that, I was like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm walking out there on the patio just steaming, you know, and I pick up the phone and call Joel. Surely Joel can do something about this. He's homesick. He's not even at the business meeting, you know. And he kind of talked me off the ledge. And but since then, that day, you know, I resigned to myself. Okay, if we're going to do this, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's don't just do it halfway. Let's do it the best we can. And if you want to know the failures, come talk to me. I got a whole list of them. Okay, but we try and do it the best we can. And I didn't think it was in me, and I still don't. Okay, but I know the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. So what I'm talking about here really is, if you're elected to an office, if you're appointed to an office, young people's leader, custodian, whoever, bookkeeper, whatever it is, you know, do it as unto the Lord. And if you can't do it or you don't want to do it, then say so. Not the end of the world. We have a lot of very capable people in this local. You know what? You're not going to see me up here singing specials. Ain't going to do it. Okay? You can ask me to sing a special. I still ain't going to do it. Okay? Even if Margaret asked me to sing a special, I'm going to say, no, I ain't going to do it. Okay? That's not my talent. Not my talent. If Lola or Addie Bell asked me to sing a special with Jay, I'd do it. Because we did. But that was very private. But at the same time, if it's within your ability and someone asks you to do it or you're asked to do it, then put your heart into it. Put your heart into it. Don't just get your name on the roster. That's not the idea. You know, I mean, I like to raise my hand at the end of a business meeting and say, can we adjourn? So at least I get my name in the business meeting notes. But that's not the idea. The idea is if you take a job, do it. And do it well, as Paul says, as unto the Lord. And this, you're thinking, where is this sermon going? No, this sermon's going about service. Number one, to God. And how do we serve God? By serving one another. And that's what we're going to read down in King Benjamin. Mosiah chapter 1, verse 49. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow being, ye are in the service of your God. And this is King Benjamin speaking. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye have called your king, do labor to serve you, then had ye not ought to labor to serve one another. And behold, also, if I, whom ye have called your king, who has spent his days in your service and yet has been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you? Oh, how had you ought to thank your heavenly King? And I say unto you, brethren, that if ye should remember all these things and praise, render all these, all the thanks and praise of your whole soul, hath power to possess to God who has created you and has kept and preserved you and has caused that you should rejoice and have granted unto ye that ye should live in peace one with another. You know, here King Benjamin, as most of you know, had a really long speech there. But part of that speech was, he was saying, you know, he was the king, and he endeavored to serve. And he makes a very good point there that, and I've heard people say that, well, I don't know how to serve the Lord. I mean, he's up there, and I'm down here, and I just don't know how to serve him. You know, I could sing a song, but does he really hear it? I can offer a prayer. When you're in the service of your fellow being, you're in the service of your God. I know our brother Hubert, which hopefully is watching on live stream, and hopefully you can hear it. He refers to a quote, a comment that somebody made, and I'm not sure who it was, that said if you want to increase your faith, increase your service. And I hope that each one of us in this coming year want to increase our faith. You're not going to do it on the couch. You have to get off the couch. And you got to get out and be active among your family members, among your brothers and sisters in the church, visiting elderly people, visiting people that need your help. It doesn't mean we have to run a welfare program. I'm not saying that. But there's things you can do to serve. There's things you can do to serve that no one else will ever know. That's true service. That's true service. That you're doing something that you're not doing for the praise of man. You're doing it because you want to serve someone. You're behind the shadows, helping out, serving. I used to have a saying that I oftentimes said, and I still believe it to be true. If you want to see the sick healed, go see the sick. You're not going to see the sick healed sitting on your couch. You have to get out and exercise your faith and be of service to those around you. And when you do that, you begin to see God's Spirit working, not only in your life, but in the lives of those that you're associating with. I knew I wrote that down. There it is right there. Something else as I got to be honest with you, I almost brought my soapbox in because I feel like this sermon is a little bit of a soapbox sermon. Because it's just a lot of different points that I feel like that at the conclusion of one year and the beginning of another year, I want to have opportunity to bring to your attention, to bring to my attention. And I know some of us, probably most of us, would always like to see a greater outpouring of God's Spirit. And I don't want anybody to think for a second that I don't think we see God's Spirit, because I think we do. I think we do see healings. Our brother Joel stood up this morning and gave a testimony of someone who received a marvelous blessing. You know, we read of a testimony of our brother Palacido who gave a testimony of a marvelous blessing. You know, so there are blessings and healings and moving of God's Spirit. This past year, we've seen where men were called to the ministry, not only here, but in other places. And that's definitely a moving of God's Spirit. But I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of greedy when it comes to this idea of God's Spirit and to feel and experience the blessings that God has for us. You know, and I think sometimes we're satisfied to just go barely far enough to have a taste, you know. And I hesitate to even bring this up, but I'm going to. It's one of the things that I just over and over again, it was on my heart. And how many of us would like to hear the Lord speak to us in some kind of prophecy or revelation? Everybody? Show of hands there. Yeah. I think that's something we desire. I know it's something I desire because in the day we live in, I lack wisdom. Really, what should I do next? You know? Should we build a building out here? Should we add on to the building? Should we go start over a new community somewhere else? Should we go have a local on the west side? I don't know. We lack wisdom. And I'd like the Lord, in my own selfishness, I'd like the Lord just to say, do this. Done, you know. The next question really is, if the Lord spoke to us today, would we listen? Would we listen? Because the Lord spoke to us in the past, hasn't He? Spoke to us right here in these books, in His Word. He spoke to us in modern-day Revelation. Not just in 1830, but since then. He spoke to us. And some of the things we've listened to, and some of them we haven't. Okay? There's times that He's given us direction, and we haven't heeded it. He's given us insight years and years before dangerous things arise, and we haven't necessarily heeded it. Okay? So if He did speak to us, would we listen? How many of you are going to go further out on this limb? How many of you have heard the gift of tongues? In this room. Okay? A lot less than the ones that would like to see a revelation. It's been a long time, hasn't it? But that's one of the gifts that the Lord gives. It's not something we hear every day, obviously. We wouldn't want to. So again, January 1, 2017, here we are. Time for evaluation. Not necessarily where we were yesterday, like Brian said, but where are we going to be tomorrow? Spiritually, where do we go from here? And what part of this overall desire for a greater outpouring of God's Spirit what part? What part of that is mine? When I walk in those doors, when I communicate with my neighbor or my wife, you know, am I shouldering the responsibility of an individual who has chose to serve the Lord? Or am I tiptoeing down the fence, enjoying the good things of life that may or may not be okay with the Lord? If the Lord spoke to us, would we listen? Is it our desire in 2017 to draw ourselves closer to Him? Change with purpose. We have to change things in our life. I don't expect this room or the way that we conduct our service to change at all. Or very little, maybe. Maybe I'll set in Don's spot. Yeah. But, he didn't hear me say that though. What needs to change? Right in here. Individually, in our life, in our heart. Our dedication, our desire to share, to shoulder our part of the load. I'm talking spiritually. I'm not talking about raking the grass. Are you willing to change with purpose? Are you willing to stop and listen to the call of the Holy Spirit? It's calling you up to a higher place, to a greater commitment, to more service, whatever that might be, to a new office this year in the local church here, to go on a visit with somebody, to become an active part. Guess what? That's going to mean you may have to shed something else in your life you like doing. Or maybe not. I don't know. We only have 24 hours in a day. Some of us like to work most of those hours. if the Lord speaks to us, will we be willing to hear Him? Will we be able to hear Him? And will we be willing to follow Him? Question you got to answer for yourself. We could all say, oh, yeah, 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 that'd be great. But when He calls to us to do something, you know, a year ago to me, I was not willing. I was not willing. But I'm thankful. That in some point in that week or two after the election of officers that I said, okay, I'll submit for this year. You know, what a blessing it's been to me. It may not have been a blessing to you guys at all, but it's been a wonderful blessing to me. And but only because I was willing to get over myself there for a few minutes and agree to do something that I really didn't want to do. And the Lord was calling me to a higher plane. And I'm convinced that this day, January 1, He's calling every one of us to a higher plane. Take the next step on the rung of your spiritual walk that you might serve Him. Proclaim aloud, get hence from me, Satan. Get out of my life. Leave me alone. Whatever that means to you, that means you got to take your TV and throw it through the front window. Go ahead. Give me a call. Come help you repair the window. You know, whatever you got to do, whatever the idol is, you know, get a shovel, go dig a hole in the backyard and bury it. Be done with it. Get behind. Get away from me, Satan, and dedicate a greater deal of service. You will be the recipient of the blessing. The person you're serving will be blessed, but you will receive the blessing. I want to talk a little bit about responsibility, and I think I have. That we take our responsibility before the Lord seriously. That doesn't mean that you're the, you know, I can't remember the office that Jennifer holds there taking care of the books back here. But I'm thankful that when I need a book, I can go to her and she can open up the cabinet and it's there. It's not, oh, well, I forgot to order that. No, it's there. It's in the book. It's in the case, you know. And what if you don't get elected or nominated to anything? Our brother Brian made a comment this morning. I tried to write it down. Not one of us that doesn't have a responsibility. That's what he said this morning. That there's not one of us in this room that doesn't have some responsibility to the day-to-day function of the work of the gospel. You know? Logan, he probably is not headed to the Philippines this year. Might be, I don't know. But I'm thinking he's probably not planning on it. Still has a responsibility to the work of the gospel. He comes over to my house and does a little job. I pay him. He's going to pay tithing. And that tithing is going to go for the work of the gospel. We have a work party here. We're going to trim the tree. These young men can drag those branches to the street. They have a responsibility for the work of the gospel. Whatever it is. And so my encouragement to you tonight is look at yourself seriously. Make a commitment honestly to your chunk of it. You're part of the work of the gospel. Because, you know, if you don't do it, it may not get done this year. It may go another year without somebody doing whatever it is. The other thing I want us to really look at is, I still have some scriptures to read, I'm sorry, but What is our responsibility one to another? To each other. We have a God-given responsibility. You know, oftentimes somebody will say, hey, where's so-and-so? Well, I'm not my brother's keeper. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We are called to be our brother's keeper. If I can see someone struggling physically, spiritually, having a hard time, we have a phrase at youth camp. What is it? You see it, you own it. If we see a young person, no matter they're not my cabin and they're not my age group and they're not my classes, if I see a young person doing something they shouldn't be doing, sitting over in the corner crying because they're having a hard time, I see it, I own it. I go find out what's going on and I take care of it. That's my job. That's what I'm there for. Guess what? That's our job. That's why the Lord has placed us in this body. And I had two or three scriptures here. I think I'm going to read one of them right now. Romans chapter 12. I hope there's Romans in my new Bible. Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1. Sorry, my nose is on the run. I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I love this verse. That's not why I'm reading the scripture tonight, though. But I hope you're thinking about that as we're talking about service. What's your reasonable service? Pretty much everything you can do. That's your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, something good to think about for this year. For I say, though that grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Don't be prideful. Don't be prideful. That's what they're saying, you know. And there's a lot of us that have to deal constantly with that problem. You know, it's easy for me to be prideful. And I try not to be, but it's just ever present with me. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. That's really what we've been talking about, isn't it? Every one of us are part of the body of Christ. We're the members that make up the body of Christ. But we're not all apostles. We have some of them sitting here. You know, and that's not all of our calling. That's not who we are. You know, I can't get up here and sing. That's not the member I am. But some of you can. Verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. That's really what I'm reading this for. That we are called to be one of another. Members one of another. You know? I mean, Adam sees a lot of me whether he wants to or not. All he has to do is look over the fence, you know. He may just look out his backyard and back door and see me going across his backyard headed to his shop for something. I'm going to swipe a piece of wood out of there or something, you know. And same way, I look out my back window and there goes Joel. to my shop. And there he comes back. And there he goes again. You know. Pretty soon I stick my head out the door and say, hey, what are you up to? Okay, see a lot of him. We're a close member one to another. You know, Jared doesn't live next door to me. I don't get to see him go across the backyard. But nevertheless, I got to be just as close. Just as precious a member. So this year, if there's members here you're not acquainted with, I'm going to challenge you. Become more acquainted with them. You know, it's easy to be acquainted with your uncle and your cousin, your mom and dad. But let's truly become one of another. Step out of the comfort zone a little bit. You know, I don't know anybody in here that bites. You know, so you'll be blessed for it. Because everybody has talents and gifts to offer. Let's continue. Verse 6. Having then gifts and diversities according to the grace that is given unto us, whether to prophesy, let him prophesy according to the portion of faith, or minister, let us wait on our ministry, ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it in simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. I like that word. Without blindly. Let it be blindly. My love for you should have nothing to do with how you look, your attitude towards me, your attitude towards others, rich or poor. Nothing to do with that. Let your love truly be as the Lord loveth. Again, these are things that change our life. We are blessed because of our effort to do something. When we, you know, I work in downtown Phoenix. I see people every day living on the street. You know, some of them with backpacks. I know some of you guys that are officers or firemen, the same thing. You just see people in the worst. And, you know, down around St. Joe's Hospital, there's just a lot of these people because they use some of the services there and they hang out there. And they're begging for money or they got cardboard signs. And if we're arrogant, it's easy to be judgmental of those people. And I usually look at someone in my own way of thinking, and immediately I try and think about how old they are. And I think, I bet you that person's a Vietnam vet. Or I bet you that person is struggling. Have compassion. Not something I always do, because in my hurried lifestyle, I'm like, that person can get a job. You know, that's not what we're called to do. Let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave unto that which is good, be kindly affectionate one towards another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Preferring one another. Not crowding to the head of the line. Preferring one another in all things. That's an expression of our love. That's an expression of our concern one for another. Preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I look at this like I do the verse of Paul in Corinthians about do it as unto the Lord. You know, if we're doing business, we're not excused to cut corners. I want to tell you, in the business world today, it's acceptable to tell a little lie. I see it every day. I go to more meetings than I want to even think about. I hate going to meetings. And I probably consume 10 hours a week, 12 hours a week in meetings where deals are being made and money is being spent at the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And not always is honesty the first thing on the table. But for you and I, it has to be. It has to be. All of you know who Dave Ramsey is. We're doing this little total money makeover, trying to help us get our finances in order as a church, as individuals. And he quoted, we watched a film of him here the other night, and he quoted a very interesting statistic. A guy wrote a book, and he interviewed how many millionaires? Millionaire next door, Stephen? 60, something like that. 60 millionaires in the United States, and wanted to know what the top 30 traits, and he came up, I think, with 38 traits of a millionaire. And without exception, every one of them, the number one trait was honesty, integrity. So he went back and wrote another book, and he did 10 billionaires, 10 or 12 billionaires, because there's not as many billionaires wandering around as there are millionaires. And in those guys, same thing. The number one trait was honesty and integrity. Above, I mean, just on steroids. It was through the roof, honesty and integrity. And I'm not saying any of us are going to be millionaires or billionaires. I'm guessing I will not be, okay, because that would be a huge distraction to me. The Lord knows the best thing for me is to be poor, but not hungry. But my point is, we have to be exemplary. We have to be the example. We have to shine above the crowd in these traits that exemplify a Christian, a true follower of Jesus Christ. And, you know, and I find in business, like I said, and maybe it's in the rest of the world too, I just don't know, I'm not out there rubbing elbows with people, that a little lie is, it's okay. You know, what's the saying? I'm going to mess this up. The means something to the end. Justifies the end? Is that what it is? The mean justify the end? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. We are called to be 100% honest every day of the week. Whether we're in business, or selling a house, selling a car. So I tell people when I advertise something for sale, I'm not a good salesman. Guy pulls up in the driveway, look at my car, I'm going to say, it leaks oil, it doesn't run very good. You sure you want this car? I'll never sell a car very good, you know. So, but that's what the Lord calls us to do. Not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, I know our brother Gary, there's a few of us in this room that you know, are in management and where we're at. We got a lot of eyes looking at us. And it's important that when they see us that we're not slothful. We didn't get there because our cousin is the chairman of the board, you know. We got there because we're not slothful. And day in, day out, whether we're tired, whatever, we're not slothful. But we're fervent in spirit. If I could find where I was at, I'd keep going. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. That's a tough one for me. Patient in tribulation. Instant in prayer, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given in hospitality. I hope we're all given in hospitality. I know that's harder for some of us than it is for others, but we should be given in hospitality. That's an easy way we can show our concern and our care for others. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Again, a tough one. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one towards the other. Mind not the high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. So as we look a new year square in the face, and we hopefully have a hope in things to come, that we're encouraged. I'm encouraged You know, sometimes in the Church of Christ, I know we hear a lot about it's the last days, it's the end of days, and it's the end of the world. It's all coming to a close. And I really can't tell you for dead sure truth, I have any idea when the end of the world's coming, because I don't. Don't, and I don't worry about it, because the end of my world might be tonight when I go over there and kill over a heart attack. That's the end of my world, you know. And but it doesn't matter. We should be of encouraged, because we will be the victors. We have the recipe for success. It's in front of us. We have the support system that God put together to accomplish the goal. You're sitting next to Him. You're sitting next to Him. They're not perfect. If you're looking for perfection, you're in the wrong spot. Okay? But we have it. But we have to use it. We have to put the recipe to work. And if you do, you should be encouraged. Because you know what? If this whole economy collapses and the roof falls in, and no matter. We're still promised the victory. We're still promised the victory. We will be successful. Because we're on the right side. Read the end of the book. We're on the winning team. We don't have to wander around gloom and doom. We should look for the future with hope and encouragement. I think I mentioned it to Gordon this morning. You know, he mentioned in Sunday school the prophecies concerning the last day. Those prophets wanted to live now. Why? Because they were excited to see what the Lord was going to do next. They weren't, oh no, it's all going to end. No, they were excited to see what the Lord was going to do next. To see His power and His might in action. And I hope that we're excited. I hope that you're excited. I hope you look at this new year as an opportunity to serve the Lord. As an opportunity to prepare yourself one more step. Ready for whatever it is the Lord gives us. Trial or tribulation. Whatever the Lord gives us. That we look at it as an opportunity to grow, to expand our faith, to see Him in action, to serve Him, and to serve one another. Thank you.